Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. You may be saying to yourself, self, why are they sending out the podcast for Parsha Naso so early? The reason is that a given Parsha is not read all over the world on any given Shabbat, or at least not always, and those times are coming up, starting this Shabbat and for several weeks. The reason is that in the Galut, or in the Diaspora, when there's a two-day holiday, such as Shavuot, and if the second day arrives on Shabbat, then in the Diaspora, the weekly Torah portion is replaced by the special reading for the holiday. So this Shabbat in the Diaspora, we will be reading the portion for the second day of Shavuot. However, in Israel, where the Chagim only have one day, the regular Shabbat Parsha is read. So this coming Shabbat, in Jerusalem and at Pardes, they'll be reading Naso. So that's why we have that podcast now. So for the next several weeks, we will be having the podcast will essentially be 1 week early if you live outside of Israel. At some point in the summer, we'll catch up when in the Diaspora we'll have a double Parsha Shabbat, but it won't be that case in Israel. So this week, Rabbi Alex Israel will be discussing the Nazir from Parsha Naso. Rabbi Alex Israel is a faculty member and also serves as a director of continuing education for Pardes in Jerusalem. And now, Rabbi Alex Israel.
Thank you, Larry. This week we're going to discuss Parsha Naso. And Naso is filled with many wonderful rituals and laws. From the sending away of the impure and the leprous outside the camp, to the famous episode of the Sota, the woman suspected of adultery. We even have Birchat Kohanim, the wonderful blessing of the priestly breasting, where God will shine his face upon us and give us peace. Many, many, many interesting parashiyot to study. However, I'm going to focus on another colorful episode, and that is the laws which describe the Nazir, the Nazirite. It is in chapter 6 of this week's Parashat Shavua that we see the law of the Nazirite, where we're told, speak to the Israelites and say to them, if anyone, man or woman, utters a Nazirite's vow to set himself apart for the Lord. In other words, if you want to become a Nazir, a Nazirite, it can apply to a man or a woman. You take a vow. I know that many of us remember the story of Samson, Shimshon, who was made a Nazir from birth, but that is not the standard situation. The standard situation is that somebody in life takes a vow. According to the rabbis in the Mishnah, the minimum is 30 days, but it could be a life vow. And now he has certain things that he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to have any type of wine, vinegar, raisins, or anything like that, anything which is connected to wine. Number two, he is not allowed to become impure, come in contact with the dead. He has very strict restrictions in that regard. And the third thing that he is not allowed to do is to cut his hair, his or her hair. And these are the laws of the Nazir. And the question comes quite naturally, what is the point of this practice? Why would people want to become a Nazir? And Rashi actually quotes a very famous line of the rabbis, noting that immediately after the story of the Sota, the adulterous woman, or this woman suspected of adultery, we have Nazir. And he says, Kol mi sheroes sota bekilkula. Anyone who watches on as of the ceremony of the sota, where the sota woman is disgraced and made a public spectacle, yazir atzmo min hayayin. He will keep away from wine forever. In other words, if somebody watches the trauma of the woman going through the sota experience, I'm not sure it's the experience or possibly the punishment which might befall her, he will realize that he should never be in a state of lack of control, never be in a state of drunkenness or even tipsy, and he will keep way, way far away from wine. In other words, the Nazir is somebody who wants to be especially cautious. The Nazir is somebody who never wants to lose control. The Nazir is somebody who is always interested in being focused and living a regulated life, very pedantic and scared of slipping up. Is that what our Nazir is all about? There is a famous discussion between two different Tanaim that appears in the Midrash. It's actually quoted in the Gemara, where there is a discussion about whether a Nazir is a good thing or a bad thing. Now, this already finds its roots in the Torah text itself, because the Torah, twice, calls the Nazir holy. It talks about the fact that, in verse 5, throughout the term of his vow as a Nazirite, no razor shall touch his head, it shall remain consecrated until the completion of his term as a Nazirite. The phrase used in Hebrew is, Kodesh Yihyeh, Kadosh Yihyeh, it shall be sacred. And likewise, at the end of the story, in verse 20, Vehinif Oto HaKohen, they talk about the sacrifices, Tunufa Lifnei Hashem, Kodesh Hu LaKohen, it is holy to the Kohen. Here, we again have this notion of sanctity, as if something very special is going on. And in fact, the word Nazir doesn't mean somebody who pulls back or is a hermit from society, but actually, Nezer is a word for a crown. One wonders, is this Nazir, is this Nazirite, actually wearing a crown of sanctity, a crown of somebody who has taken on extra things in the name of religion in order to draw himself closer to God? So one opinion is that this Nazir, this Nazirite, is actually holy, sacred, and that this is a recommended and wonderful thing to do. However, there is another opinion. And the second opinion says that actually it's a problem. And the source for all of this is that when the Nazir actually finishes the end of his term as a Nazir, he has to bring a sin offering, a Korban Chatat. And obviously the question is, well, what did he do wrong? What sin has he done? The Torah tells him he can be a Nazir. He's become a Nazir. And why should he not be allowed to do this? So here we see the opinion of Shmuel, who quotes Rabbi Elezer HaKapar, and he says the following. Amar Shmuel, kol ha-yoshev b'ta'anit nikra chote. Anybody who fasts unnecessarily, obviously, is considered to be a sinner. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Elezer HaKapar, where Rabbi Elezer HaKapar says, why does the Nazir have to bring a Korban Chatat? Why does he have to bring a sin offering? By what virtue did he sin? And he says, we must conclude that in denying himself the enjoyment of wine, he has sinned. And he says, Ve'ela dvarim kal vachomer, u'mazeh shelo tzir atzmo ela min hayayin nikra chote. If somebody only denies themselves the pleasure of wine, is called a sinner, all the more so somebody who denies himself all food. Or maybe we can extend it further and say somebody who denies themselves any pleasure will be considered to be a sinner. This is the opinion of a certain Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar. However, there is another opinion, and that is Rabbi Elazar. They've got similar names, but very different opinions. And he says the following. Rabbi Elazar says, Nikra Kadosh, the Nazirite is holy. As it says, Kadosh Ye Gadel Perasar Osho, and he says the following. I'll read it in English. If this man who merely denied himself the enjoyment of wine is called holy, how much more does this apply to the man who has denied himself enjoyment of other things? And so here we have a situation in which there is a conflict between two different opinions. Many people want to describe this in wider philosophical terms. We all know that in many, many sects, in different religions, and within Judaism itself, there have always been different strains. There have been strains which have been more ascetic, moving away from society, and often feeling that if one suffers, one is virtuous, and one is holy, and one is considered to be doing a religiously positive ideal. This is sometimes expressed in Christianity, but we also have our Jewish examples of this, where there were certain movements within Judaism which certainly valued suffering and valued living a pauper's existence. And whereas I'm not sure that this has always been the norm, there certainly was a large group of Hasidei Ashkenaz who used to involve themselves in various different penance rituals, which included even, you know, rolling in, naked in the snow to suffer and other things. Suffering is good, and certainly, maybe I should add, that the indulgence of this world can lead to sin. We're going to see this in a second. Whereas other people want to say that God has given us a wonderful world and we can enjoy this world. A good example of this is the Rambam, Maimonides, in Hilchot Deot. In Hilchot Deot, which is the laws of personal character traits, the Rambam takes up this topic and uses the Nazir as an example. He says the following. Maybe a man will say, Hakina v'hata'ava v'hakavod motziim et ha'adam min ha'olam. Jealousy, desire, passion, and honor are all evil. The Mishnah in Avot tells us that they take somebody out of the world. These things lead somebody astray. Our desires, our desire for money, our desire for pride, jealousy, materialistic aspirations. So he says, maybe somebody will turn around and say, this is all a bed of sin. And Efrosh mehem biyoter v'etrachek l'tzad ha'acharon. He said, maybe I should keep to the other extreme. I'll divorce. I'll separate myself entirely. And I will eat no meat and drink no wine. I won't marry. I won't reside in a comfortable dwelling. I won't wear fine clothes, only wool and sackcloth. He says, just like the non-Jewish priests. Says the Rambam here. And if you want a reference, this is in Hilchot Deot, in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, at the beginning of chapter 3 there. He says, this is an evil path. Gamzeh derech ra'ah. Va'asur lelech ba. You're not allowed to follow this path of withdrawal. Hamalech baderek zeh nikre chote. He says somebody who does this is considered to be a sinner, and he says, quotes exactly our case. Look at the Nazir who didn't only separate himself from wine, and he needs penance and atonement. Somebody who keeps away from all of life, all the more so. And therefore, he says, the rabbis always commanded us, all you need to do is keep away from the things that the Torah forbade you. Don't keep away from meat. Keep away from non-kosher meat. You're allowed to eat in such a way that you do enjoy yourself. You're welcome to drink fine wines, okay, but obviously they have to be kosher. You're welcome to eat as long as it is fine food. You're allowed to get married as long as it's to somebody who the Torah allows you to. You're allowed to live in a beautiful home as long as it accords with the laws of the Torah. And therefore he says, be very, very careful not to inflict upon yourself vows of abstinence to things that are permitted to you. And in fact, he says, and this includes engaging in extensive fasting. Our sages forbade a man to mortify himself with fasting, etc., etc., etc. And this is the view of Maimonides. Many people talk about the middle path of Maimonides, where Maimonides is basically recommending that people live a normal life, not of indulgence, which he certainly frowns upon, no excess. The Rambam's not interested in that either. But he certainly says that one doesn't need to have a guilty feeling, any guilt conscience, as to being a person who, in moderation, engages in the pleasures of this world. In strong contrast to that, to the Rambam, I'd like to quote from a book called Mesilat Yesharim. It's by Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. This book it really could be called the cornerstone of Musar study. Musar study, which the Musar movement, maybe you've heard of, people always put it together with the famous figure of Rav Yisrael Salanter, 18th century figure. And the Musar movement aimed to try and focus people's religious advancement not on intellectualism, but rather on piety. In Musi Shivot, what they used to do was they used to send the boys on all sorts of projects and missions in order to perfect their different personal qualities, frequently things like selflessness, humility. They were very worried about people's pride, etc., etc. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato's book, Mesilat Yesharim, The Path of the Just, or the Straight Path, is a book that tries to describe the different steps. It's really a how-to manual in order to achieve levels of holiness. It's actually interesting that he divides it into two different stages. He talks about a person becoming a tzaddik first, and then becoming a chassid, becoming righteous, and then becoming saintly. And in the section where he begins how to become saintly, which apparently is a extra level, but certainly a level that he recommends, he starts talking about the idea, the basic principle of Kadesh Atzmechar B'Mutar Lach. One of the basic principles is actually to sanctify yourself by denying yourself even that which you are allowed to do. He says, the ancient rabbis were called Prushim. We translate that as Pharisees. But he says Prushim literally means separated, because he says what they used to do was to separate and withdraw even from things which were permitted to them, even which things which were allowed. Now, what's his logic and what's his basic thinking here? And he's also going to grapple with the Nazir. But by the way, he's going to take the other opinion. He says that we get this idea from the Nazir, that the Nazir is called holy. And because even though he denied himself only wine, which he should be allowed to do, just wine, he is holy. What's the problem? So I'll quote from some of what he says. He says, there is, again, you're going to hear some very harsh opinions here. There is no worldly pleasure upon whose heels some sin does not follow. For example, he says, food and drink, when free of all the laws of kashrut, when they accord with all the laws of kashrut, are permitted. But if one fills oneself full, it brings in its wake a rejection of the yoke of heaven. Drinking wine brings in its wake licentiousness and all varieties of evil. He says, and even when one accustoms oneself to eating and drinking beautiful foods, if you lack what you have, then you'll be racing for a better job and for more possessions so that you can fulfill your standard of living. He says, moreover, for example, the Torah did not tell us anything as regards to beauty and fashion. It only said that you're not allowed to have clothing in which wool and linen are mixed. But he says, who is not aware of the fact that fancy clothing and embroidered material, in other words, high fashion, pulls one towards pride, bring ones to situations of sexual promiscuity, giving rise to envy, lust, etc., etc. This guy is quite extreme. He even goes so far as attacking our leisure pursuits, our vacations and our downtime, where he says, Hatiul v'hadibor. He talks about people walking, going on leisure expeditions, and even just speaking at great length, chatting with friends. He says there's obviously nothing wrong with it, but he says, and he says, of course, from the Torah it's allowed, but he says, how much Torah time is wasted? How much slander, lashon hara, how much gossip is said? How many lies? How much stupidity in conversation? And he says, what do you want to do it for? Again, what's, by the way, even this book, the Mesilat Yesharim, warns people against harmful ascetism. He says, obviously, if you deny yourself food or you become unhealthy, that is not what you're meant to do. But he's worried that excessive materialism and excessive indulgence in the world will lead somebody to pursue constantly a high standard of living, which will then bring somebody to a situation whereby they divert their attention from holy pursuits, that when we want to try and dress in the most fashionable way, it will sometimes lead us from away from standards of modesty. Eating and drinking, drunkenness, whatever it might be, even excessive speaking, we heard his views. And again, I have to stress that his role model in this regard is exactly the Nazir. The Nazir is considered full of sanctity because he denies himself just wine, and that's considered to be his role model. I think that this discussion, and by the way, this discussion begins already possibly in the words of the Torah, by the way, the Torah both instructs the Nazir to bring a korban chatat, a sin offering, and also calls him holy. In other words, the very text there is somewhat ambivalent, doesn't clearly make a value judgment as to the Nazir. What it would appear to be is that this is somebody who wants to take on extra religious commitments. Extra religious commitments beyond the norm. One wonders why a person would like to do that. Why do people say they want to take something extra? Sometimes it's simply religious zeal, which makes people want to express something beyond the average. Sometimes it's that a person really wants to get away from their environment. A person wants to use some artificial mitzvah in order to thrust themselves away from maybe their community or their environment, which they feel is dragging them down, and they need some excuse or some tactic in order to put themselves in a different place. One wonders why the Nazir would like to do this. And yet, we can see that whereas the laws of Nizirut, the laws of the Nazirites, can be very, very useful, they enter somebody into controversy. They enter them into a situation whereby it's unclear whether this is a positive thing. I think that the Nazir is a fascinating case study for us to consider ourselves. Frequently, we find ourselves in midlife following the routine. We might go to shul, we might not go to shul, but we have sort of found our way in life and the place of religion in our life. And the question is, obviously, how to move upwards. Sometimes we feel that we're not happy with the level that we're on. How do we improve? Do we do it by taking on all sorts of religious modes which are beyond the norm around us? Is that successful? Should we take on things which are a regular mitzvah, a regular law, al daven mincha, for example, or learn a bit more Torah? Or should we possibly engage in something which takes us away from our environment, which we're finding it difficult to break, from which we're finding it difficult to break? Maybe we find that the people around us aren't adopting the standards we would like, and we need something to set us apart. How do we? What methods do we use in order to take ourselves higher religiously, should we so want? Another question which the Nazir raises very strongly is indeed the value of the material world around us. Does the material world obstruct us from our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from our relationship with God? Is it an obstruction, and therefore if we can move more of it, if we can get rid of the wine and further other things, we will be indeed close to God? Or are we able to harness the good and the wonderful things in the world around us to enhance our relationship with God? So those are some of the things we want to think about when we're reading the Law of Nazir this week, and we can think about the famous argument which stretches from ancient times all the way through to medieval times and beyond about how we should relate to the material. Should the material be embraced by Judaism as a blessing of God? There is even a statement in the Talmud that we will have to give an account for every single pleasure, worldly pleasure, that we denied ourselves. God has given us a wonderful world, and we should enjoy everything which is in it. On the other hand, we have Mesilat Yesharim warning us that sometimes materialism and worldly enjoyment can be a severe trap and can lead us into directions which are far away from spirituality. And I think we all who experience this is true, and therefore certainly a certain amount of thinking on this topic is necessary. So I'll leave you with that to think about and wish you Chag Sameach and Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Israel. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated and read, and we really like them. So please send your comments to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Also, if you'd like to make a review of the podcast on iTunes, that would certainly be greatly appreciated. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.